the pulpit of the First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas, this is Pathway to Victory with Dr. Robert Jeffers.
Hi, I'm Robert Jeffers, and welcome again to Pathway to Victory. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that when we trust in Christ as our Savior, we become a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. But tragically, many Christians are still clinging to their old way of living. Well, today we're going to look at 7 radical changes that should occur in the heart of anyone who receives God's grace. My message is titled, Laying Down the Law Without Giving Up Grace, on today's edition of Pathway to Victory.
We love to sing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. Yet sometimes we fail to understand the parameters of God's grace. In his best-selling book, Grace Gone Wild, Dr. Robert Jeffress will help you gain a better grasp of what grace truly is. When you realize the scope of God's grace, it can radically transform your relationships, your marriage, and every area of your life. Request Grace Gone Wild and the personal and group study guide when you give a generous gift to Pathway to Victory.
I probably shouldn't admit this, but I love James Bond movies. I've liked watching them for 50 years, and for those of you who want to be critical of that, you can blame my mother for it. Literally, she's the reason When I was about 10 years old, my mom had to go to a teacher's conference on a Saturday, an all-day teacher's conference over at TCU in Fort Worth, and she didn't have a babysitter for me, somebody to watch me, and so she took me with her and dropped me off at the movie theater across the street from the TCU campus. She left me there for 8 hours. And I watched 4 complete showings of Thunderball with Sean Connery. 4 of them. I stumbled out of the theater, and for 2 weeks I would walk around the house saying, "Shaken, not stirred, please." Had no idea what it meant. Today, even to this day, I can recite long passages from Thunderball. But if you know anything about James Bond, you know his designation was 007. And 00 was a special designation of British spies on Her Majesty's Secret Service. The 00 meant that they had the freedom to kill without answering to anybody. The 00 designation was a license to kill. You know, there are many Christians today who think because they're saved and serve on His Majesty's service, that they've been given a special license, a license to sin. In fact, whenever they're met with any kind of standard whatsoever, they pull out that license and show it to people. It's spelled G-R-A-C-E. They think that grace is the freedom to do whatever they want to do. In fact, I read just this week of a Christian leader who had been confronted about his immoral life, and he whipped out that license and said, quote, "I'm living under grace, not under the law." That is an abuse of God's amazing gift of grace. In fact, in our series, Grace Gone Wild, we've really seen that there are two enemies to the great gift of grace. One abuse of grace is legalism. Legalism is trying to add to God's grace in order to be saved. No, it is by God's grace we have been saved through faith. One extreme is legalism. The other extreme is libertarianism that says grace frees me to do whatever I want to do. No, grace is not the freedom to do what you want to do. It is the liberty to live as God wants you to live. That's what real grace is. And in this series, we're talking about how to use and how to keep from abusing God's amazing gift of grace. Now, have you ever heard anybody ask this question before? Well, wait a minute. If I'm saved and forgiven of all of my sins, and I know I'm going to heaven regardless of what I do, what keeps me from sinning as much as I want to? Have you ever heard that before? That's an objection to grace. What is to keep me from sinning if grace has freed me from the consequences of my sin? Well, that kind of question fails to take into account 7 radical changes that have occurred in the heart of anybody who has been a recipient of God's grace. Last time we began looking at the first 3 of those 7 changes that have occurred in your life if you've truly received the gift of grace. First of all, grace brings into our life a new awareness of sin. A new awareness of sin. Remember, before we're born again, we're spiritually dead. We have no spiritual nerve endings. They're dead. They're dormant. We can't really feel the pain of sin. But grace brings with it an awareness of sin. Grace makes us aware of sin. Secondly, grace brings a new status before God. Our status with God has changed. That's why we don't want to sin. We've been changed from enemies of God to friends of God, Romans 5 says. In Galatians 4, Paul says, we are no longer slaves, but we are sons of God. Changes our perspective. Thirdly, grace brings with it a new heart. When people say, well, what's to keep me from sinning as much as I want to? Simple answer, my want to's have changed. And now today we're going to look at 4 other changes that occur in the life of everyone who receives grace. Grace also brings with it a new master. Now listen to me. This is another misunderstanding about grace. Grace does not free me to serve no master. It frees me to serve a new master. Some people say, well, now that I'm a Christian, I'm so glad not to serve Satan. Now I'm free to do whatever I want to. No, you've just changed masters. Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. That's true. But we all serve one master. We serve someone. And that's what Paul is talking about in Romans 6, verse 16. Look at this. Paul said, do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey? You're a slave either of sin, resulting in death, or you're a slave of obedience, resulting in righteousness. Paul is in effect saying, I've got some good news and some bad news for you. The bad news first. Every one of us is a slave of someone. None of us is free. We may think we are. We're not free. We're all slaves of someone. How do you know whose slave you are? By what you're serving. You can be a slave of sin, and therefore you are a son of Satan. Or you can be a slave to righteousness, and that makes you a slave of God. You know how to tell what you're a slave to? Simple question. What is it you can't say no to? Whatever you can't say no to identifies what you're a slave of. In 2 Peter 2:19, Peter said, for what by what a man is overcome, this is he is enslaved. For by what a man is overcome, by this he is enslaved. If you can't say no to dessert, guess what? You're a slave to sugar. If you can't say no to television, to spend time with your family or reading your Bible, you're a slave to the tube. If you can't say no to pornography, you're a slave to immorality. By what a person is enslaved, by what a person is overcome, by this he is enslaved. If you're a slave to sin, you can't say no to sin. That means you are a slave to Satan. That's the bad news, but here's the good news. You get to choose what you're a slave to and whose slave you are. That's what he says in Romans 6, 17 and 18. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to the form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you become slaves of righteousness. And Romans 7, 22 and 23 says, if you're a slave of righteousness, you're enslaved to God. We all pick who our master is going to be. Now, just imagine you're looking for a job, and you've got two possibilities, two offers of a company to hire you. How are you going to judge which company to go to? Well, you're going to know which company pays the best, which offers the most benefits for you and your family. It's the same way when we choose who our master is going to be. Do we want Satan to be our master? Do we want God to be our master? Well, let's see what each one pays us. In Romans 6, 23, that famous verse, for the wages of sin is death, but the wage, the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. If you have received God's grace in your life, guess what? You have a brand new master who's much more benevolent than Satan. God offers you everything you've ever dreamed of. That's why you choose and want to choose God as your master, not Satan. And yeah, occasionally Satan tries to make us think we're under his control. He doesn't want us to know that we're under new management. That's what grace provides, a brand new master. Secondly, grace gives us a new location in which we serve and live and please God. Let me show you what that new location is, where our new address is, if you will. It's found in Ephesians 2, 4 through 6. Paul said, but God being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, he has made us alive together in Christ. For by grace you have been saved, and he has raised you up in him, and seated us in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know, the best way to illustrate this new location that we live in after we receive grace is to go back to the story of Jesus' greatest miracle. Remember the raising of Lazarus from the dead? It's found in John chapter 11. Jesus received word that his friend Lazarus had died, and he waited until the fourth day to come and perform his greatest miracle at all. He finally arrived in Bethany and asked to be taken to the place where Lazarus was buried, the tomb in which he lay. And remember, Jesus ordered that the stone of the sepulcher be moved. In John 11:43, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And the man who had died came forth, and Jesus said to them, "Unbind Lazarus and let him go." And they removed the wrappings, and Lazarus was free. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you imagine after that great miracle of raising Lazarus from the dead, after Jesus and the crowd left, do you imagine when nighttime came, Lazarus snuck back to that tomb? He wrapped himself in those wrappings and, "Oh, I miss these clothes so much." And he crawled into that tomb and placed himself on the marble slab and went to sleep in that grave. Do you think he did that? Of course not. Grave clothes are for the dead. Cemeteries are for corpses. They're not for people who are alive. You say, well, what does this have to do with obeying God? Here's the question Paul asked in Romans 6:2. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? If sin is put to death, it has no power on our life, why would we ever choose that? For us to live in sin makes no more sense than our choosing to go out to a wrestling cemetery, digging a hole and jumping in it. For us to get wrapped up in our lives in immorality and gossip and lying and bitterness, that makes no more sense than wrapping ourselves in stenchy grave clothes that are meant for the dead. That's what he's talking about here. If you are truly saved, why in the world would you want to go back to that old way of living? God has called us to a new location. There's a sixth radical change that has taken place in the life of every recipient grace, and that is God has given us a new law, a new law. You know, one of the characteristics of what I call bad grace is the belief that grace means I have no standard which I live under. I can do whatever I want to. No, it's not that we're under no law. We're under a new law. Romans 7:7, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? May it never be. On the contrary, I would not have come to know sin except through the law. For I would have not known about coveting if the law had not said, "You shall not covet." Verse 12, so then the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. There's nothing evil about the law. Apart from the law, would never know Christ. No, the law is not evil. But the purveyors of bad grace also say that, well, we're not under any law because after all, Paul said over and over again in Galatians, I'm no longer under the law. I'm no longer under the law. No, we're not under the Old Testament law. We're under a new law, but we're still under a law. When Paul says he isn't under the law and we're not under the law, he's not referring to the moral law, all the Ten Commandments. He's talking about the ceremonial rituals under the Old Covenant that had to do with dietary restrictions and festivals and sacrifices. Those things we're free from because they've all been fulfilled in Christ. Paul said that in Colossians chapter 2. Remember he talked about in verses 16 and 17, therefore no one should act as your judge in regard to food or drink or in respect to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day. Those things which are a mere shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Those 600 plus regulations under the Old Testament law, they were shadows. They were foretelling of the coming of Christ. But now that Christ has come, we're no longer under those laws, but we've exchanged those laws for a new law. Not a law to earn our salvation by, but a law by which we please God. Paul talked about the new law that we're under. In verse 2 of Galatians 6, he said, bear one another's burdens and therefore fulfill the law of Christ. Grace doesn't free us to be under no law. Instead, grace gives us a new law. Finally, the radical change that grace brings into the life of every believer, grace brings with it a new incentive for obeying God. A new incentive. No longer do we only obey God out of fear. No longer do we obey Him out of duty only, but also there's a desire to please the one who's done so much for us. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. We do have a duty to obey God. That is a legitimate motive for serving God. Look at Luke 17, verse 7. Jesus said, "Which of you, having a slave plowing or tending sheep, will say to that slave when he has come in from the field, do you say to him, 'Come immediately and sit down to eat?' No. Instead, you say to him, 'Prepare something for me to eat, and properly clothe yourself and serve me while I eat, and then afterward you may eat and drink.' The master doesn't thank the slave because he did the things which were commanded, does he? So you too, when you have done all the things that are commanded you, you should say, 'We are unworthy slaves. We have done only that which we ought to have done.'" Guess what? You don't get a trophy for just obeying what you're supposed to do. God doesn't fall down and say, "Oh, thank you so much for saying no to sin, or for giving a tithe of your income to the Lord's work, or to sharing your faith." That's what slaves do. They obey the master. But there's an additional incentive we have to obey God. It's not just duty. It's a genuine desire to please the one who's done so much for us. Jesus said it this way in John 14, 15. He said, "If you love me," not if you fear me, "if you love me, you will keep my commandments." Our incentive to obey God is both duty and desire. Yes, we do it because we have a duty to do it. But we obey God also because of what He's done for us. As Jesus said, "I no longer call you slaves, I call you friends." Our duty to obey God, our desire to please God, intersect at the cross of Jesus Christ. We are not our own. We've been bought with a price. That's why we obey God as recipients of grace. My hope and prayer is that you're beginning to see God's grace as a radical expression of His love and mercy. How much better to choose His glorious path rather than our own path. Now, in the time we have remaining, let me thank you in advance for your generous support of Pathway to Victory. I have the privilege of reading thousands of comments that come in from your fellow viewers, and I can assure you that your financial investment in Pathway to Victory is truly making a difference. People from all walks of life are beginning to understand that God is a God of amazing grace. Thanks so much for helping us push back the forces of darkness by shining the truth of God's Word. Now, stay right there. I'll be back with more Pathway to Victory in just a moment.
The word grace has multiple uses for Christians. We say grace before a meal. We sing about it, thank God for it. But few Christians understand the depth and breadth of God's grace. And some are surprised to realize that in addition to its amazing status, grace has a dark side. Dr. Robert Jeffress explains in his best-selling book, Grace Gone Wild.
Sometimes Christians twist the meaning of grace into something it's not. In some cases, we even abuse grace. So how do we know the difference between good grace and the kind we manufacture to satisfy our selfish ways? In my book, Grace Gone Wild, I'll help you gain a better grasp of what God's grace truly is.
Learn how God's grace can protect every aspect of your life. Request your copy of Grace Gone Wild by Dr. Robert Jeffress when you give a generous gift to support the ministry of Pathway to Victory. It comes with a brand new personal and group study guide. And when your gift is $75 or more, we'll also send you the complete unedited Grace Gone Wild teaching series on both CD and DVD.
Many Christians have taken this amazing gift of grace and they've perverted it. They are robbing themselves of the joy that comes from obedience to God.
Your generous support of Pathway to Victory is reaching viewers around the world. Thank you for standing with us as we boldly declare the truth about God's amazing grace.
Jesus Christ sacrificed everything on our behalf. And as a result, we should want to please Him. Obeying God becomes more than just our duty. It becomes our desire. That's the transformation that happens when we realize the true worth of God's amazing grace. Well, God's grace should impact every part of our lives, our relationship with friends, our marriage, our decision-making, and our connection with people in the church. And next time, we're going to examine how real grace, good grace, should impact our most important relationship of all, our relationship with God. Stay tuned for a preview of what's coming up next on Pathway to Victory.
Today, when you give a generous gift to support the ministry of Pathway to Victory, we'll say thanks by sending you a copy of the best-selling book by Dr. Jeffress called Grace Gone Wild, along with a personal and group study guide. Plus, one free issue of Pathway Magazine is yours today, simply for contacting us at Pathway to Victory. And when your gift is $75 or more, we'll also send you the complete Grace Gone Wild teaching series on both CD and DVD. These programs are made possible because of your generous support. So thanks for calling, writing, or going online to give today. Now, coming up next time on Pathway to Victory.
Think about it. The King of the universe loved you so much, He wanted to establish a relationship with you, and so He renounced His rights as King of the universe. He came to earth taking the form of a human being, and He became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And why did He do that? Out of obligation?
Set your DVR and join us next time for the message, Good Grace, Spirituality, here on Pathway to Victory.